You've got to pump it up, don't you know, pump it up. Hello, Stars fans from far and wide. This is former forward AJ McLean coming at you, and you're listening to A View from Section C.
A View from Section C is sponsored by Don Michele, Italian restaurant, Perth Road, Dundee.
Hello and welcome along to episode 97 of the Don Michele sponsored A View from Section C. Senior, I don't know if you can hear this, you might just be able to hear this. My voice is totally gone over the weekend. Don't know how. Woke up Friday, Saturday, voice started to go, came home, started shouting some abuse at Toby on Saturday night, and I lost my fucking voice.
Well, there you go. Here you go.
How are you?
I'm fine. I'm good.
Good?
I'm good. Another physio session today, but it was just a deep muscle massage today. That's how it was. So a bit of that, yeah. Good. But I've actually got another scar right across it because the dog jumped on us when I had my shorts on and our nail cut right through. Oh, she'd fucking see it, honestly. Stupid dog.
But so is that you needing another fucking major surgery or keyhole surgery or
you never know, huh? Yeah.
Senior, I'm gonna start the show though, about our title sponsors, Don Michele. We are now doing, or I say we, but their shop, the restaurant, is now doing delivery.
I seen that.
Oh,
yeah.
Pizza and pasta right to your fucking door. What more do you want?
What else do you want? Eh? Yeah.
Yeah,
that's good. Eh? I seen it on social media. So, yeah, really good. Do they come out as far as us?
I don't know, but I'm going to test the water though and put an order in and see if they do it.
Right, okay. And if they don't, just send it to Longforgan and see what happens.
Paddy will do it anyway, so that's fine.
Yeah.
Senior, listen, I'm going to crack on tonight because
I'm looking forward to this one. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one.
People might think, can be sitting there with matching T-shirts and everything on, senior and junior matching T-shirts, and got my gloves off, baseball cap on, but again, as I said to our guests in the green room before we came on, thought I better wear it because I'd probably get fucking battered if I didn't. So I'm all kitted out today, both things ready to go. But senior, you've been looking forward to this one for a while. You've been wanting to get one of them on. I've been wanting to get the other one on because I think I nearly had the whole of social media a few years ago believing he'd actually signed for the Stars
about midway
through the season, and it caused an uproar right across Swindon.
One of them has played for the Stars, and the other we want to play for the Stars. So now's our chance.
Absolutely. And the two of them kick arse. So without further ado, let's do welcome a different senior and junior to the show. It is Scott and Tyler Poyes.
How are we doing, boys?
Gents, how are you doing?
Yeah, we're good.
All good.
Yep.
Thank you so much, both of you, for coming on. As I say, we've been trying to get it sorted for a while, ever since we had Robo on, and Robo's like, hey, get Poesie on, he'll tell you some stories, and like, that's the problem. We probably can't bring Poesie on because of those fucking stories.
What are you getting done in my house?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. The worry is if we get the third member of the troupe on, Smithy.
Yeah, exactly.
There is that.
Get all three of them on at the same time would be a hoot.
Tyler Robo said that. He said, but probably the only time you would get the three of them together is they would either be on holiday drinking someplace, or they'd be in Kirkcaldy drinking someplace. And that was the worry.
The only problem is if we got the three of them on, I think my wife would have to come on for a one-off show just for, like, to translate for everyone and the three of them together. And that's no cause they're pissed.
Brilliant.
But, yeah.
It happened.
Yeah.
But good if it did.
Yeah. Absolutely. But no, thank you both for coming on. As say, we've got some questions for you. And obviously, as before, we always like to bring people on. We always kind of give them the heads up of what it's going to be, so you're not stuck on the spot. But we'll start off with Mr. Police Senior in your hockey career. Obviously, spent the majority of it in Scotland in the BHL and the BNL. But I said it's safe to say you've spent just a wee bit of time in a penalty box. No much, just a wee bit. But how did that role come about for you of being that enforcer type player?
I mean, the role came about pretty sharpish. I got in quite a few fights, but no loads in the juniors, to be honest. It did happen now and again, but obviously people know that when I went to the Flyers at 14, I can't remember having a fight when I was 14, but when I was 15, then things just started sort of kicking off here and there. But it was only really, I think, probably I had a couple of fights, but the one that come to mind that sort of, and it's to do with Tyler, and I think maybe I've told people the story in the past, was a guy called Tyler Larter, who I never knew was a could handle himself, but he knocked me clean out when I was just a nipper. So I knew that. I can remember back, I can't remember much, but I can remember back that I must have been it never stopped me. It kind of spurred me on to maybe I think I've never used my left hand ever again. I never threw a left punch ever in all my fights when I was 15, 16. So, because I changed hands when I thought I was beating him, and then he knocked me out. But yeah. So the role came pretty quick. I just would never back down for anybody. So from a very young age. So kind of, but it was moving over from Fife to Edinburgh. Kind of playing with guys like Mike Ware and Paul Hand and that, and Rocky Saganet was a coach. It was that American, the North American kind of attitude, and nobody was allowed to get away with any liberties and stuff like that. So yeah, that's how it came about. Just
what?
Thought to name his son after the boy that knocked him out.
my mates still bring that up when I named my son Tyler, but it was I had that written in the stars for when I was, excuse the pun, but for when I was a young man. I knew my first son would be called Tyler, so for some strange reason. But
yeah. Well, to be fair, it's not the first time you've been put on your arse in a fight by somebody called Tyler, because it did happen in a testimonial game or a charity game, I believe, as well. I'm pretty sure I saw that on social media.
That was a fun one. But yeah, we had two fights, didn't we? One was the first testimonial, and then the second one I said to him, I was like, I'm going to go down on the first fight. The second one, I was like, right, you have to go down this time. I need to get this win. Because I had one of my mates had a big WWE replica belt. And yeah. I had that underneath my gear. And I said to him, I pulled him in, I went, fucking go down. And he wasn't letting go, wasn't going down. And he eventually went down. I was like, fucking right. Ripped it off, had the belt in that. That was a thing.
That's tremendous.
So there you go. I'm staged, just like the WWE.
Yeah.
You've heard it live. Staged.
Oh, God. But don't worry, we'll edit it out so the Swindon fans didn't know that. We're fine. We're all good on that one. But yeah, Scott, as you said, obviously you went from Fife to Edinburgh. Obviously you were part of the Racers, Paisley, you've been with the Stars as well, and Solway and stuff like that. But you know, how difficult is it in such a competitive league to transition over from teams where you grew up with a load of the Fife guys, obviously, through the junior development and stuff. You then go your separate ways. You being a tough guy and having to kind of stick up for teammates, there's no liberties taken and stuff like that. How does that affect you with, obviously, your mates that are on other teams?
It's never affected me moving into any teams. I always knew people in the room, which helps obviously. But I mean, if you're going to sort of tag me with that sort of role again, I would never have that attitude going into a team. But I kind of know that there's some guys in teams that are worth sticking up for, and there's some guys in teams that aren't worth sticking up for. Very few aren't worth sticking up for. But you've immediately got that kind of respect, which I don't look for, but I understand the situation I'm in when I go into a room.
Absolutely.
But no, I play ice hockey to go into a room and make friends, and the hockey part of it would always iron itself out. I believe that I can remember, but going into a room was my attitude towards it would be quite lighthearted. So until the puck drops, obviously, but then I mean, I would always be up for togetherness with a team was huge. So I was never above anybody. That was like I never will be kind of thing. So that was huge for me. People clicked on that straight away going into a room.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about it as well, Scott, is even like when you've played for Fife, Paisley, Edinburgh, Dundee, doesn't matter what the rest of Solway, doesn't matter what the rest of them you go into, the other team know what you're like, right? They know that when you're going to play against them, you've got a job to do, and they know the reputation that you go in with. If they're going to be arsey, then there's only one thing you've got to do, and that's actually deal with it. And to me, that's on them rather than you, because they know what they're getting with Scott Plews. And if they want to go and start taking liberties or even coming after Scott Plews, then they know that things could happen. Whether it's your mates or no your mates.
Aye. I mean, they do get me wrong. There's some... In fact, talking with Robo, it happened in Solway when Robo was playing for the Stars. Mm-hmm. And somehow he thought I'd stuck him somewhere, either in the stomach or I forget what he said. But he come flying, skating up the ice behind me, screaming at me. And I'm like, what's your problem, Robo? And I was like, I've never done anything. Somebody must have caught him in some way, and he thought it was me. And I'm like, what's your problem? And he's like, but we never fought. But after the game, he was like, he kind of took the hump a wee bit. And I was like, I still laugh about it when we were on holiday. And I like, remember the time you proper spat at him because you thought I'd speared you? And I was like, I never even touched him. But he's still angry. If you ever get him back on again, he'll probably tell you it was me. You know? And I didn't want to admit it. But no, I would never back down friends or anything, because I've had fights with guys I'm pretty, I wouldn't say close with, but I'm friends with. And you go talk about it and shoot the shit in the bar. You know what I mean? That's hockey. That's probably the biggest thing about hockey. Yeah. But
And we'll also obviously we talk about kind of that role of being the tougher guy in the team that, you know, a lot of people don't really, like, obviously I think we saw it kind of more towards the end of your career, but certainly in the early stages as well, you weren't just the tough guy. You were the good stay-at-home D-man, got rid of the shit in front of the goal, and even chipped in a few points here and there as well. And it's kind of similar to what we kind of see with Tyler's game as well, is that it's a good stay-at-home D-man, jump up in the play when you need to, get some points on the board, but at the same time, take absolute no shit, no prisoners when you need to.
Mm. I mean, 100%. People would mention to me about fighting and all the rest of it, and I was like, well, wait a minute, I was playing for the GB 19s when I was able to play 16s. I was the youngest guy in the whole GB team. I knew that, but my attitude towards hockey was the more rougher side, and that's how my GB stopped kind of when I got to that sort of serious age where you needed to be completely level-headed to play play up at that level. But I'll take that as a backhanded compliment. I played hockey as well. Having that kind of what you would call attitude helped me in my position. Helped me in my position as a defenseman. Stay at home usually means didn't score very many points, but I was a stay at home D man. Tyler's been very lucky, fortunate that I've grown through all that and then understood what I've need to tell him.
Yeah.
One of them is that really you know what I mean, people will remember stuff like fighting and stuff, but you've got to be a good hockey player. You can still be good, still be tough, you can still do a job, still have a presence. Yeah. But yeah. And you'll enjoy your hockey way more if you're sort of involved in the special teams and you know what I mean, that kind of thing. So yeah.
Yeah. So obviously you took a bit of a break from hockey for about 5 years in between, kind of came back into the SNL, firstly for the Flyers, and that's when, you know, I kind of first saw you for the first time, was coming back into the SNL. Hated it when I seen you playing for Fife, and then obviously you came in over at the Stars. So what was it like coming back into hockey after having a few years break? You know, did you feel that you were able just to hit the ice running again, or did you feel you had to adjust quite a bit?
So I played a wee bit of recce hockey when I gave up. I mean, I did give up quite young. I was only 23 when I stopped playing. And then in the SNL, as you're well aware, the level was, you know what I mean, it's a bit of a drop. Well, it's a big drop, but so playing in that level wasn't an issue. And then going up into the sort of, when things were getting a wee bit more serious and that, but I didn't want to sort of get involved with people because they were trying to get involved with me because I had a name and all the rest of it. But
yeah,
I wanted to enjoy it, and it was enjoyable. But when you've got kids and job and all the rest of it, you try the trouble side of things. I was like, never far away, but you were always kind of having to try and balance it out. That, you know what I mean, trying to let people get under your skin and stuff like that. But
I've heard that before. We guys that as they got older and who had been sort of had the reputation of being a fighter, that when they get older and they've got commitments, they've got family, they've got young family, they've got work, and if you hurt yourself, whatever, if you're a joiner and you break your hand, that's at SNL level, that's off your work. Right, and you're maybe not getting paid or anything. And I don't think people realise that it's different for imports or the Brits nowadays in the elite league. They get paid if they hurt themselves. But if you're in a fight at SNL level, and you damage your hands and you use your hands for your employment, that's you. That's it. And you've got family to look after and everything. I think people really understand what goes into that, playing at SNL. Mm. And as you say, Scott, people are like, Scott Plews is back. I'm going to be the guy. I'm going to be the guy that's able to say, I've took down Scott Plews. And it's, yeah.
It's not easy,
I think it's right.
Understandable.
No, it's not.
No. And that's how I always tell McGiffin to stop fighting on a Saturday or a Sunday night for the Rockets, because I've usually got a haircut that next week. So I hate to tell him to stop fucking fighting.
You were here under that hat?
Aye, just a wee bit. Just a wee bit.
So he's a classic example that if he fights and he damages his hands, that's his livelihood up in the air. He's a hairdresser.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
Yeah.
But, so, obviously, please, you came over to the Stars. I'm sure it was the same season as a certain Mr. Greg came into Dundee as well. How did How did Training for the Stars come about? Obviously, you were at Fife. What made that transition over?
Roger was there, wasn't he? Roger was the coach. So Davy Smith was there, I think. I'm sure Davy was there at the start of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at me to go and join them. And I spoke to Roger and stuff. And I'm sure I turned up and I think I had one training session and Smithy left. Smithy left the Stars. And I was like, what are you doing? You're asking me up to join the Stars. And I said, you bugger off. But Davy kind of had that connection, and but Roger was, I played with Roger. Roger played for the Stars, for the Racers when I joined, when I was only 16. So I knew Roger from a very young age. So I had a lot of time for Roger. So Kent wasn't an issue. The Stars are cracking setup, always has been run by people who understand how to look after humans first, hockey players second, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Elite League probably a little bit different because it's a bigger business, but that was how it came about, and I did enjoy my time with the Stars, and I still to this day know that I've been told, you ever come up to this ice rink, give us a shout, please, and you're more than welcome to come in and see any games, etc. How it should be.
And we talk about tough men, but Roger Hunt, tough guy as well, huh?
I mean, I'd hate to get a punch for Roger. I'm not sure what you'd have to do to get that punch, but I can tell you a story about Roger when my very, very first game for the Racers, that was warming up against somebody, and the place was absolutely packed. And I'm standing there, and we're ready to do two-on-ones, and I'm standing at the side of the net, and I look around, and I look at the net, the goalie skates through the net, and I thought, I'll float a puck into the net, for just standing around, and I floated this puck, and it left my stick, and it launched straight over the net, and hit Roger square in the face, like right in the side of the face, and his entire, he was a big lad, and his whole face all moved. And he seen me, and I was like, sorry, and I was absolutely shiting myself. I was like, he was a monster of a man, and I was like, and he never said a word. He didn't even say anything to me. And then I said, I apologised after warm up, but I was just my first game with the race. I was like, honestly, it was funny, but no, Roger's he's. Quietly tough.
Yeah, Scott, I was going to say that because I remember we done a Stars Player of the Year. It was the year of the one, the playoffs. I think it was the last year I won the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I was chairman of the supporters club. They'd done a bit of a speech and he come and spoke to me after it. And what I took out, because you're right, he was a big guy, was how quietly spoken he was when he was speaking. Very meticulous, very polite. And you just, mm-hmm. you would look and think, yeah, you've got hands like shovels. I would not like it knocked out for you, I'll tell you. But he was just so quiet. Good guy. Nice guy.
Yeah, cracking sense of humour.
I just remember that game through in Paisley when Cornerboy came charging through the bench door to start fighting with Chris Petrie on our bench. And Roger standing laying into him as the coach. And I was just like, what the fuck? Like, and it was just, absolute mental. But yeah, what a guy he was.
I know, he's a big reason, one of the big reasons I went to the Stars.
Yeah. Obviously, speak about your time at the Stars. First thing that always comes to mind for me was the Solway game and seeing you on, I think this Solway game that, it was the end of the first period and we'd had a bench clearance. And it was, I think it was one of your first games. I think you and Liam both got kicked out, but then brought back in again from the changing room for the start of the second period.
Mm-hmm. I think Liam had went round and took the beers for the man of the match and took them into the dressing room.
Is that another one where... Sorry, what was that, Larry?
No, on you go. I think I might be in the same end, but you'd went to get the beers and then he come back out again.
All right, aye. Was that when the linesman was lying?
Yes, it was, yeah.
It was against Solway, wasn't it? Aye. It was Dumfries game.
Yeah.
The actual video is on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it's had thousands and thousands of views, but it doesn't mention me, or it just mentions a fight in Dundee Ice Arena. And
yeah,
there was, I don't know, I forget. I'm sure I got a 4-game suspension after the game once the door settled down. But no, just looking after my mates.
I feel like I was there for that game. I seen that. Yeah, like Liam's dragging a boy, and then you skate around the pile to jump back in, and that's when you hit the line.
I go straight for I forget the guy's name that played for Solway, but he fancied himself as a fighter, so I just went straight for him in the middle of about 10 Solway players. threw also the ref out of the way as well.
There did seem to be a few boys though like that for Solway at times in the SNL days where they fancy themselves as bits of fighters. Because I remember Cornerboy literally chasing the boy Gracie round the ice in Dundee, literally skating after him. And Gracie had to get in the bench and ended up just having a turtle because he wasn't quick enough to get in the bench. But I'll tell you, SNL, fun days. But but Scott, obviously, kind of wrapping up, you've obviously done a bit of coaching as well through Scotland and GB. So just how different is that from kind of being an experienced player passing on advice, you know, to teammates, to actually going in and coaching younger guys?
I mean, I'm not sure if you're aware, but I've started coaching again this year at Fife for the under-16s. And I'm coaching with the recce guys as well, helping them out. But back then, it was about five years ago that I stopped coaching when I got up to the GB level. But I just loved the sort of camaraderie you got with the boys in the team. And I was enjoying the older age levels, the coach Tyler up to till he went to the Caps as well. But the 19s, the sort of 18, 19, 20-year-olds, the guys that are sort of pushing on that, sort of knocking on the door of going away and playing different clubs or going up to the senior level and stuff. That's the kind of level I enjoyed. I coached the kids, coached my own kids, coached everybody's kids up in Fife for years, and I really enjoyed it. Will I get back to the heights again? I'm not sure. It's not something I'm aspiring to do, but I'm not sure how it's kind of been with my role in the past where you're talking about on the ice. It kind of portrays a confident role when it comes to coaching kids, you know what I mean? You've got a very tactical coach, but I'm a believer in the mental side of the game. Kids respond to being than just completely tactical and just walk out the room and leave it at that kind of thing. So, yeah. So, no.
Yeah.
Well, watch this space. You never know. I may push on again and see what happens.
I've took many
Flyers might be looking for a coach soon.
Mere chance of nailing a jelly to the roof.
He wouldn't touch it. He would not touch that role.
Couldn't afford me.
But speaking of coaching, your Bairn, Tyler, you're obviously product of the Fife youth system. But very quickly adapted to life in the SNL before jumping into the Elite League with the Caps. We talk about it all the time on this, you know, players going about the gap between the SNL and the Elite League is massive. We've not really got that kind of stepping stone like what you're in just now and down south. Mm-hmm. But just how, you know, we've seen it this season kind of last season as well with Johnny McBean, but how difficult is that transition from SNL up to the Elite League?
Yeah, it's well, you just said it there. It's quite an incredible transition. Like, it's hard. You go from having so much time on the puck in the SNL, and you can kind of, you know, I mean, dipsy doodle and kind of just go end to end and do what you want.
Yeah.
Where you go to the Elite League and you've got less time on the puck, you've got faster, more skillful players coming at you constantly. Yeah, I mean, it was hard as a D-man in the league as well. Like, every shift you had to be switched on. You make one little mistake, you're probably not going to get back on the ice. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, you had to kind of have that confidence in you. But, yeah, I've been asked that many a time, the transition. And like you say, there's nothing in Scotland that's bridging the elite league.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see why most guys who play in Scotland like want to come down south and play in the NHL and put a few years of there underneath their belt and then go up. Because there's obviously a gap between the NHL and the Elite League, but it's not as far as what the SNL is. But
but those first couple of years in the league with the Caps, two solid years. You know, some point production in there. Again, like what you're saying, steady, stay at home, get rid of the shit when you need to, stick up for the guys when you need to. Got your cocked under 20 squad, and obviously some of the names in there, Liam Kirk, Cole Shudra, the guy Pound that's in Belfast now, Sam Duggan from Cardiff. Just what's it like, you know, with those guys at kind of that age group, you know, you see kind of where some of those guys have got, Liam Kirk, for example, you know, NHL draftee. How is the experience there, and how does it those guys help bring on your game as well?
Yeah, I mean, you're playing with the best players at your age in the country. So every trial, every training session, it was always like you had to be on form the whole time. It was an amazing experience to play for GB as well. It was something I always kind of wanted to do. I mean, being able to travel the world and play hockey is pretty cool, so I enjoyed that. But
mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was always good playing with those guys. Like, and they're all great guys as well, actually. Like, everyone got on with each other pretty well. But yeah, GB was different. You had to be pretty professional all the time. Sometimes I struggle to do that. but yeah, it was pretty professional. We always have a joke. Like, there's a saying in GB that if you're 5 minutes early, you're 5 minutes late. Yeah, so it's just stuff like that. You had to be pretty dialed in all the time at mm-hmm. in GB, but yeah. I enjoyed it. It was good, and being able to travel. I think we played. Went to Budapest, Hungary, Budapest for the national worlds, and yeah, you're playing against the best kids in the country. That obviously in that league, but it was an experience. It was a good experience, and really enjoyed it.
Yeah, obviously, shout out to the coach of that, he's been on this show as well, in Spud.
Now,
obviously, Blazy, you played for him in Solway for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Both, and this, I'll throw this out to both of you, what is Spud like as a coach? You know, you see what he's like, you see what he brings, but what, you know, what's the personality like of him?
I think he's a good people person, isn't he? Like,
I'll have a different... a different view on Spud, because we grew up when we were at nursery together. We were way back to the kids, and I knew my role, what I was going down to Solway to do. So Spud would never, you know what I mean, very technical in my eyes, very technical. A good technical coach. He knows how to get people to work for him. And I would have a conversation regarding what was wanted of me before game situations and all the rest of it. So I had that with him. He would never tell me what to do. He would leave it up to me, because we had that between us. Tyler's view would be completely different. You know what I mean? It would be a tell, whereas with me, it was everything would be discussed. And then sometimes I would take the law into my own hands, and then, you know what I mean, have to discuss it with him while I was sitting for a few games. But So my view would be different for Tyler's, but a very good technical coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I only had him in GB once, and you did see that. He is he looks after you as a person as well, I feel. Like some coaches will just like they'll just chuck you information, but whereas he'll speak to you more about the kind of thing. But I think he's a great coach, and he's doing well in Solihull right now as well. Obviously they jumped into our league last year. Yeah. And they're already doing well this year. And they done good last year. I think they just missed playoffs as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good coach. I rate him quite highly.
I'm always surprised with Spud that what he's done, you know, we saw, especially Solway, and then with the GB sort of the age groups that he's worked with there, that he's not had, and this is no disrespect to the likes of Solway and that, but a bigger team or a team in a bigger league has came in and offered him a position. You know, I'm surprised that potentially even Dundee, Fife, Clan, maybe not. But do you think Spud's got it? That if the opportunity arose, could he coach in the Elite League and get his team to do well in the Elite League?
I would say so. I'd say wouldn't he be past him anyway? Far from it.
I'm just surprised that certainly two teams, Dundee Fife,
I think he's heart lies in Solway though, isn't it?
It'll be him that puts it there, mind you, but
if we see a random GoFundMe come up on Facebook, then we know why.
No, he's well looked after at the Solway, and respected.
Definitely. No, and rightfully so. But Tyler, one more year in Edinburgh before leaving the Elite League. But speaking about your time in Edinburgh, you know, and we always kind of saw it year on year. Start off decent team, really competitive, and then it dwindles away. Guys leave left, right, and centre. You're left with you Brits, you know, pretty much every shift. The Jordan Steele getting about fucking 40 minutes one game. And he's breathing his arse at the time. Just, you know, how difficult is that for you guys? You know, you are still trying to learn the trait of hockey still at the time. You know, you're still young guys coming through. So you see all these guys leaving. How difficult is it for you?
Yeah, that was certainly an interesting few years there. I think that's when I finally realised that hockey was a business as well as a game that you love to play. I've never been on a team where guys have left and come and go and stuff, and then when we went to Edinburgh, it was a fucking revolving door at one point. But without having a dig at Scott Neil, it's common knowledge. It's just how the Caps are run and how they were run for a long time. You know, professional hockey players come over, and it's a semi-pro run team. It's, it ain't going to end well. But I mean, that first year that I signed there, Riley Emerson was the coach. It was a pretty good team on paper. Like we performed well as well for like a long period of time. But that was probably the best team I was a part of. But then, like I say, guys who come over here expecting things that should be of a professional team and not getting that. Led to guys just saying like I'm done, like it's only so long you could try and stick together, to the point where you have to look after number one and that's yourself. And so a guy just got fed up, and to be honest, so did I as well. Like towards the last year, the third year of Edinburgh, I started to really just hate hockey. Like it became more of a task and something I enjoyed doing, and obviously getting battered most nights was never fun. And then I think moving to Swindon, I fell back in love with the game and realised that this is kind of like what hockey should be, you know what I mean, instead of what went through at Edinburgh. But the Caps are back, and I hope Scott does well with the team, and I hope they win something in the SNL.
Well, we obviously didn't because we've got the Rockets, but you know, like,
that's true.
So it's quite a different move from sort of playing near enough on your doorstep to then Swindon. How did that all come about?
Oh, yeah, it was a weird one, to be fair. It was just a phone call one day. I got Aaron Nell, the coach, and kind of put the feelers out that he was interested in signing me. And obviously that was towards when the Caps were pretty much, they were folding. But to be honest with you, I wasn't sure if I was going to sign back for the Caps if they were still were a team. But yeah, Aaron came on the scene and we had a good conversation, and it was exciting for me because it was away from like home, Scotland, and it was a whole different kind of experience for my career. And I felt like it was an easy conversation for me. I was first phone call, I was ready to go. I was like, I'm in. but a couple of calls later and it became to an agreement, and mm-hmm. yeah, here I am still. So
yeah.
It's kind of mad that when the year that I went down south to Telford was because Edinburgh Capitals were folding.
Yeah.
They were literally going bust. So everybody was just all jumping ship. And I went, me and Dean Emerson went down to Telford doing that. And this was pretty history repeating itself.
Absolutely. But Tyler, you say it now, obviously sixth season in Swindon. But obviously there is obviously still a lot of a gap between the NIHL and the Elite League. I think we saw it when Clan played a pre-season game against Solway. I think did Sheffield play a pre-season game as well, I think against one of the teams as well.
Yeah, and MK played Coventry, I think, as well.
Yeah. And you can see some of the scores, or you know, cricket scores at some points, but you know, how different is it still between the league and the NIHL? Is there any kind of sort of similarities between it and that gap starting to close?
Yeah, well, I mean, for starters, we have 3 import slots, whereas elite teams have, is it 14 still? 15?
15.
So as I went, 15. It goes up again. So, yeah. I mean, that's the biggest factor. You've got a lot of British guys playing with only 3 imports to play. And again, obviously, we spoke about the massive difference in skill and speed, etc. But the NIHL as a package, as a whole, is, I think, a fun and exciting league. Like, you've got a lot of hungry young British players that they want to bleed for the club, whereas I feel you get a lot of guys in the Elite League who are just coming for that paycheck. You know what I mean? Come and live in a different country, play hockey, and you'll get a guy who's just in him to want to play for that club, and they love that club. But most of the time, you won't find that. And I'm not sure if you've seen like the crowds as well in the NIHL. They're pretty decent. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. MK brings in over 2,000 a game. Like most of the bigger teams in the league do pull in a quite good crowd, so that's good. Like, I mean, it's always a good atmosphere when you play. We played an MK at the weekend there, and I think there was like 2,500 people in the building, and it was mm-hmm. loud. You know, I mean, I think some of the lower teams maybe in the Elite League might not bring in. I think Fife struggled for a while bringing in a big crowd. So, like I say, it's an exciting league. It's like, if you ever come and watch the game one time, like, you'll see what I mean. It's still fast paced, it's still good skill level. But again, you've got British players, more British players than you do imports. Yeah. So you pay for what you get in that sense. So,
Because I'm at that age that I could probably remember when your dad was younger and Scott playing in the Heineken League when it was 3 imports.
Aye.
And the rest were all Scottish or British players, wasn't it? And that's what allowed all these young Brits to come through and play ice hockey.
Exactly. No, the imports were always classy imports as well, and each team in the league they've still got those 3 or 4 classy people that they're the players that they're paying for that little bit more. But sadly the other 10 or 12 are mediocre in my view, and I still believe the best way for British hockey is 5, 6, maybe 7 at the most imports, and you're going to. But yeah, that's the Heineken days were
Yeah.
I enjoy watching Tyler's team play. I stream all Tyler's games every weekend that we can, and I enjoy watching Brits play hockey, and the imports are, some of them are, they stick mm-hmm. out, some of them don't. Yeah. But I really I get invested in watching Brits play hockey mm-hmm. than imports. Yeah. And I'll never change.
Yeah. We had the same conversation with Robo about the import level. And I think we probably agreed on, if we got back to a BNL scenario, then even then, you know, it was 8 imports, but you had to have 8 or more Brits on the bench at that point. So if you only had 7 Brits, you were only able to dress 7 imports.
Aye.
If you had 7 imports, you could dress as many Brits as you want in the aye. BNL. And for me, that is probably around about the right level. So like what you're saying, Scott, 6, 7, maybe 8 at a push, and then start bringing all the guys through again. And it would be, would it do away with SNL? Potentially, but they'd all be playing at a better level and learning more playing at a BNL level rather than some guys. We spoke about it sort of before we started. We Fife with young Brody Kay, and that's it. That's what they've got. That's a Brit quota. Yeah. And a young guy, I think it's Cameron Kenny or something his name is the backup to import goalies.
And even then, you look at it, that import goalie ships in 7 last night and doesn't get yanked, because the young laddie, they wouldn't want to put him in the goal and put that on him either. So, Senior, I do think that was a wee invite from Tyler to come down to watch one of the games there.
Absolutely. We've been doing before. Remember, what was it we went to see Wishing that when
Slough? Yeah, it was Slough.
Doing at Slough when Wishing Chad and that were up playing at Slough. Went down there and watched them. That was a good laugh.
Yeah. But Tyler obviously did say there that they played MK at the weekend, but Tyler was the plim, and well, no say why. Maybe something to do about his dad's legacy a wee bit there, but obviously, Tyler, looking at your stats over the last couple of years, you know, you still are throwing in a good number of points over games. You know, we have said it, stay-at-home D-man, but quite a number of points for quite a steady, solid stay-at-home D-man. But like you say, you weren't playing at the weekend. Does Aaron kind of give you that bit of freedom as well to go out there and do what you need to on the ice, or is it more a it's last resort, Tyler?
It's been there the last resort kind of thing. Yeah. I suspended a few times two seasons ago, and I was on a collar for a bit. But yeah, you know, it's how I play, and I think that's why I've been in Swindon for so long. It's just kind of like you say, I'm a stay at home. I like to play my body down quite a bit. I like to box shots, and when I contribute to a goal or two, it's nice. But I think Aaron, everyone has a role in a team, and Aaron knows what mine is, and he likes it. But to be honest with you, the way the suspensions work in my league, like, it's guys get suspended for pretty much anything. You've probably seen some of the stuff that's happened. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Did you not get a suspension for that hip check?
No, that was fine. I got the check into the head became, it blew up over like 2 weeks. One guy got 10 games, and then the weekend after, buddy's skating with his head over his skates, looking at his feet, and I go right through his body. And the first point of contact I made was the head, trying not to, but it's tough when a guy's skating like that. I got 6 games, I think. And then we've got penalty points that accumulate and you get more game bans. I sat another 2 games of penalty points. So it's just, it's a bit of a shit show in that sense. Which now leads to the game becoming a bit more softer. But like I say, I take pride in what I do, and probably watching that cycle down there when I was younger and probably made me how I am, you know what I mean?
That's psycho.
I know, that's rough, but
I've seen him in situations.
Well, I would say that, because I would say to Tyler, I say, look, you're more important on the ice than you are off. And I would believe, I'd like to think that I probably was too when I played, but I couldn't even tell you the scoreline of some of the games I got kicked out, whether it was winning or losing by one goal or tying or something. I'd be sitting in the dressing room and I would be oblivious to whatever the scoreline was. Mm-hmm. Something kicked off, I was in the middle of it kind of thing. But yeah, I don't know. I'd say, Tyler, you're way, way more important on the ice than the game we missed last night, or the other night, sorry, on Sunday, was because of some young guy literally wanting to get involved at the end of a game, but you get kicked out if you fight in the last 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And Tyler didn't want to fight, but some young guy just starts hanging on, and it's like, right, okay, then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't even much of a fight, but you're missing a game.
Yeah.
So, I watched it. I watched the game last night, and yeah, I'm sure if Tyler was there, there would have been some guys not skating around maybe the way they confidently were.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get a wee bit soppy here, and Tyler might get a wee bit embarrassed here, but Posey, just when you see him out there, just how proud are you of him and his performances and what he's doing now?
Oh, obviously very proud. We stream all his games. We watch his away games as well. We stream his away games, stuff like that. So, no, as me and his mum are super proud. His sister and his brother are proud of him as well. But we miss him not being here in the country. But we spoke about this just last week with our friends. He's been away because he was living in Edinburgh as well, not living at home when he played with the Caps. So, yeah, he's living his dream and enjoying life. What more could you ask for?
Yeah, well, listen, Stars have an important deal on who injured just now. there could be an open roster spot for him in Dundee. I'm just saying.
I thought you were talking about me there.
Well, good. It's happening to you as well.
Speaking of your other boy, I met your other boy in June, and Ben Almedina, Xander.
He
was with his partner. I met him and Cali were there. We were at myself and my wife, and another couple. We go to Ben Almedina around about June, and I tried to get Robo's apartment. He was like, "Oh, Lars, what can I?" He says, "Cali's got it," but he says, "I could easily kick him out of it if you're desperate." And I was like, "No, Robo, it's fine, it's okay."
That's because you were paid money, and then Cali, wasn't it?
That's what it was. Cali got the freezer. He was telling us, he's like, "Nah," he says, "he'd have got you in there," he says, "because he'd be getting money off of you. He was getting nothing for me." So, so we'd met them, yeah. But did you see his fight the other night, Cali's?
Aye, I did.
Sneaky tough, eh? One punch, bang. That'll do, thank you.
Yeah.
It's funny. Do you know what? I enjoy playing against like Cali and the guys you grew up playing hockey. We spoke on what my dad said there, like, regardless if you were friends on the ice, off the ice, like on the ice you were opponents, and didn't matter if you were good mates. The amount of times I've tried to blow up Cali when he's fucking dipsy diddling through the middle. And there were times I caught him once, not, it wasn't very good, but I got him once. But he's, you know what I mean? He's like, he's a little shifty skill guy, isn't he? And I tried to cut him one time. But it's the same. Like, I got a lot of guys that you play against and you're friends with off the ice. You ain't friends on the ice. And that's what kind of my dad taught me as the older I got. And that's just how I play my career now. So,
yeah.
But he knows it's all love off.
Yeah.
It's all love off.
But listen, wrapping it up, speaking the gloves off, and dropping the gloves, Scotty, got the shop. Thank you again for being a sponsor of part of our show. We've not really given it a shout out too much recently because everybody seems to be running scared because we changed it from senior versus junior to senior versus the fans. And Abdi used to take the piss out of senior for being shite at it. And now they are running scared for him because they didn't want to mess up themselves. But listen, you know, this is your kind of chance to put a wee bit out there about the shop and stuff, especially for people also kind of Dundee area that are also listening to this. We do have obviously Fifers that are listening. Shannon's dad and our wee brother, they always kind of come into the shop and stuff as well. But yeah, how is it going kind of having the shop now that, you know, officially kind of retired from hockey?
The shop's been amazing. So I don't know if you've seen the video that went out, got a wee bit of insight to me and the shop and how Gloves Off's getting on. So yeah, the shop's is doing great. It's in a great position, as you're aware. And I just love the support that I've had from the local people, and when all the other teams come to play, the junior teams come to play in Fife, they come in abundance. And and then moving on further than that is the sort of space that I've built myself and in the shop too. It's a small community on its own. Kids come in and they don't buy stuff, they just come in and shoot the shit and sit about and chill out and you know what I mean. It's mm-hmm. I've had grown ass men sitting crying on my seats and while we're talking about stuff close to their, you know what I mean, what they're going through and stuff. Yeah. And then I kick them out when somebody wants to come in and buy something. But so I just need to speak to Swindon and try and get my poster boy here to I think they're allowed me to jump on the Tyler Blues bandwagon down in Swindon and get Gloves Off down there.
As long as I get commission, bud.
Well, we are a Blues, nothing for nothing.
No,
I appreciate the what you guys are doing, helping me out, and I'll help you. Really appreciate your giving me a wee plug in that and getting me on your show. So
absolutely. As we say, we've always done it just for, you know, it's all kind of we're local people. We'll classify Fife as local, even though it's like Mordor as soon as you go over that bridge. But at the same time, you know, we've obviously known you for a long time, Scott, and we've shouted abuse at Tyler for a long time behind the away bench and stuff. So, you know, absolutely, that more than happy to shout that out as part of the segment. And we really do appreciate it. But as you say, obviously the video's up on social media. We've shared it on the View from C Section C page, so obviously all our kind of listeners and viewers go and check it out, have a listen, and next time we're in Fife, giving the Flyers another 7 goals, absolutely get in the shop beforehand, go over early, get in the shop beforehand, and you know, and have a nosy at it as well. But listen, I don't want to keep you too much longer. We do appreciate your time. Tyler, we wish you all the best for the rest of the season.
Sure.
Especially when you sign for Dundee before the transfer deadline day comes in. But again, Mr. Blues Senior, it's been an absolute honour. Very much one of, we'll even put it out there, one of Britain's hockey legends. We do appreciate the both of you coming on.
I appreciate it coming us on, lads.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks very much, guys. We'll talk again.
Take it easy, boys.
See you later. Cheers.
Yeah, bye.
So that was Scott and Tyler Blues. We've got a long episode this week, Senior. But
I've always said that, right? See, and we're speaking about like Brits. And he's hockey through the years, right? And I've always said it, especially about import levels, right? See when guys like Scott Blues and Ian Robertson mm-hmm. and guys like that speak about import levels, and British levels, right, people should listen to them because they've got so much fucking knowledge and experience, right?
Listen.
I could listen to these guys. These boys could sit and tell me stories all night and I'd sit and listen and not even open my mouth, honestly.
Yeah. It's like when Roman was on.
Legend of GB hockey.
Yeah, yes. Robo obviously said when he was on that he was part of the Calgary Flames training camp. You know? Young laddie fucking Fife. Yeah. Carnegie boys ice time. Like Fife Carnegie boys ice time now because they're going down the import route. And you look at the weekend and the weekend before, still doesn't even work for them. Let's crack on with the show, senior. We'll get on about Fife in a minute, but the NBE Valiant Service is sponsored two-way watch. So it was the Rockets on Saturday night. I think it was Saturday. I'm losing the days of the week this week.
Saturday because we were at home on Saturday. They were away.
Yes, that's right. So Saturday night, they were away to the Edinburgh Capitals. Unfortunately, Gary Kelly did not play in the game. However, the Rockets, with a massive 6-4 victory over the Caps, putting them up to second place behind Aberdeen, with a couple of games in hand, I'm sure it is. Talking about Aberdeen, Dom Jagler put in a very decent performance, but just came up short against the Kirkcaldy Kestrels, as our other two-way player for the Kestrels, Mr. Josh Saunders, got in with the first goal of the game again. So, speaking about the poses and being stay-at-home D-men, Josh, stay-at-home D-man, seems to be putting up a good few points this year. I think it's 6 or 7 in about 5 or 6 games as well.
That result actually, that was a bit of a surprise for me to see Aberdeen getting beat from Kirkcaldy, but it certainly helps the Rockets.
Yeah, to be fair, the Kestrels are a decent side.
They've got young guys in there. They've got experienced guys in there as well.
And when we say experience, and I can't believe this is going to be one of the experienced guys, is Chris Wands, who scored one of the other goals of the game. Fucking big Wando jumping in there. But yes, so the Kestrels beat Aberdeen by 3-2. So Josh with a goal. Dom, unfortunately, with the loss this week. But it is obviously their first regulation loss of the season for Aberdeen. So that is our two-way watch, senior.
Yes.
But this is where it comes into some of the good stuff. So we'll start off with our 51 Club sponsored game review. For some reason, senior, the Elite League wouldn't let us save my picture for Sheffield this week, during the week. So we'll just have a quick brief over of the Sheffield Steelers game. Sheffield won by 6 goals to 1. I'm gonna speak about it first. So officials in the game, listen, we're all Team Stripes here. However, Team Stripes had an absolute nightmare in that game. And not on just one occasion, more than one. Mr. Good with the mustache that you liked, he was one of the officials, and I never caught her name, but it was a female ref, was the other one. I think it was Holly something. Or somebody Holly.
Yeah.
Could be wrong.
Can't remember what I mean.
The two of them were absolutely terrible the whole game. Not just for the Stars, but for Sheffield. I was sitting messaging Neil, who I was wearing the stag do with, and he said it as well throughout it. Even Sheffield were winning, that they were poor the whole game. The penalty on Dryden for them to go 2-1 up, terrible penalty call. Dryden's literally just, it's neither a hook, he's got his blade out the way, and he's literally just got his hand on the stick, and it's just leaning forward onto his leg. Called a hooking penalty. Score straight away. Then the high stick. Like, for me, the clue with the high stick was the fact that Sabol's blocker was above the bar to push it away. That's how high it was.
I actually... I've picturing it right. I actually thought Sabol jumped.
Yeah, but to be fair, to be fair, after Saturday's game, Stapleton's a lot.
Yeah. No, but for the hair stick, he's jump up. And it's a ridiculous call. And you know what? That's when you can't shit when boys like Sims are saying during commentary that, that's a no-go. That's a high stick.
Wasn't Simsy? He doesn't do the commentary anymore. No. He got banned for that pish. But both commentators were saying it was high stick, or they thought it was high sticks.
Yeah.
But listen, it was a 6-1 loss. Senior, we weren't far off. You said 4-1, I said 5-1. We weren't far off with that prediction for once.
Yeah. It's frustrating because, and I was on social media saying it, whether that goal is given or not, you wouldn't know the outcome, right? If that goal got chopped off, there's no way to say, oh, well, Sheffield would win 5-1. You've got these Sheffield fans going, well, we never got that goal, we would have won 5-1. No, you wouldn't have, because the whole game changes.
Yeah.
You might have won 10-1. Who knows?
Yeah.
But
it
had an impact on the game, I think, because of the time of when it was scored, because they went fucking bang, bang, bang again. Yeah.
I'm sure it was at 1-1 as well that the referees missed a boarding call, a big boarding call on Jake Elmer. Jake went into the boards head first after a hit, and there was no call on the play. And Jake gets up slowly and he just looks at them and you actually see it. He's like, what the fuck? Like, I've got my chest on the board. And the guy just came through it. And then you look at what the calls on Saturday for boarding on, like I said, Garrigan, which was absolute bullshit. Yeah. And then you see that ones like that, and you think, where's the consistency with it across the league?
And again, that's where I think we are missing Pulio, because does it happen if he's there? Does it not happen?
Yeah.
You never know. You never know.
Yeah,
but we didn't expect much out of Sheffield. We probably expected maybe we slightly better than 6-1, but from all accounts, the first period we were very, very good. But also,
I think until the quick fire goals, we were very good.
Yeah,
I think we played very well. Yeah.
So that's like 30 minutes. So it goes to show, right, even in the game in Dundee, right, for 50 minutes we contained them and played well. It's maybe not the greatest hockey to watch, but that's what you have to do, right, against the likes of Sheffield. And for 30 minutes, we've done it away from home. But what we need to stop is the quickfire goals. Because once you get, it's like they get back 1-1, 2-1, 3-1, then we're then having to chase the game, and then the whole ice is opened up for them, and they'll just destroy you.
So obviously we did have the Nottingham Panthers in town on Saturday night, and obviously, but the pre-game obviously was the little memorial for Adam Johnson, as obviously it's a year just passed. So Stars, all goals came in the second period, no goals in the after the first. Stars went 1-0 up at 22:01 on the power play. Zach Seckles assisted by Dryden Dow and Jake Elmer. Stars made it 2 through a great individual effort goal by Captain Fantastic Dryden Dow, assisted by Harms and Elmer at 24:37. And then Reid Stephenson with Nottingham's only goal, 26:23. No goals in the third, but a 2-1 victory for the Stars against the Panthers.
It was a gritty win, eh? It wasn't beautiful. I thought up until 2-0, I thought it was a fairly even game. They had a lot of shots on Saville. He kept them out. That's his job. I thought he played well. He had a bit of luck. Carried himself a bit of luck, but you need that at times. But I thought he played really well. Thought he thoroughly deserved his man of the match. But I think what we done well was, you think about it, we beat them 5-1 down there. So it was going to be a different Nottingham that came up here, especially the night after we beat them. They go and beat Belfast and pumped Belfast. So we knew it was going to be a different team. But I thought we played the right game. And as I said, it's no pretty. A lot of people, somebody's got a bit frustrated when they see the way that we play and it doesn't suit what they want to watch. But I'll tell you, I would take us with a performance like that against Nottingham and whenever you get 2-1 for now at the end of the season, then come on here and say, oh, we were fucking brilliant. Thought we were really, really good. We were unlucky to lose. I'd take the wins. I'd take wins over performances every day of the week.
I think we've done the basics right. I said it on Saturday that I just felt that it was another typical Danny Stewart game. He seems to have taken his Newcastle Vipers style hockey, go back a wee bit even further when he was assistant coach to Dootyum and Fife. When the game was tough, or it was a tough road game, they just defended, and hit on the break. He did the same in Newcastle when they started losing some of their star players, you know, when they were about to fold as well. Sat in, then they break. Mm-hmm. He did the same with Coventry, and we actually mentioned it on the podcast last week with Coventry on this day. It was one of those games. And we lost like 2-1 in overtime. Yeah. Nottingham come in, and it seems to be that he tried to, it's almost like he went back to that game plan because the game plan in Nottingham didn't work the week before. It almost worked, but you know, I think it started the basics right just to get it over the line and get the 2 points.
Yeah. As Mark says, they done the right things at the right time. They clogged up the centre of the ice, and that really, that made them struggle a bit because they just couldn't get past. And defensively, I thought we were a lot better. And the net minding has begun to really step up now. So all in all, I thought it was a good result. If you can get a draw in ice hockey, then you would probably say a draw was maybe a better, a right result overall. Yeah. But listen, I'll take that 2-1. That 2-1 gritty performance win over a 2-1 defeat where we thought we were fucking brilliant and we were just unlucky.
Yeah. So league standings then for the EIHL. So Glasgow still bottom through 7 games with 2 points. Fife, 7 games, 2 points as well. Nottingham now 4 points through 5, Guildford 5 through 5, Stars up to 6th place with 6 points through 7, level with the Manchester Storm. Sheffield in 4th, 8 points through 5, Belfast 3rd, 9 through 7, and Coventry currently up in 2nd place, and we'll come on to that in the preview. 10 points through 6. Cardiff in first, 14 through 8. Coventry win those 2 games in hand. They go joint top with the Devils. But 7 games in, senior, 6th spot, not too bad just now.
That's okay. I think we've certainly got better over the past wee while. But it was a big, big game. And yeah. I was going to take anything at the weekend, and I took the 2 points against Nottingham, and I'd just let the Challenge Cup go.
Yeah.
Because that is now for me the bread and butter of the season is getting the league. But there's a long way to go. We've played 7 games. What we've got in our 47 games to go yet. So yeah, we can still win the league.
But. You see, kind of forget about the Challenge Cup, but let's not forget about the Challenge Cup. We were in Fife on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Stars, Johnny McBean at 6:59, put them 1-0 up, assisted by Kylie and Gravel. Alex Tonge made it 2, assisted by O'Connor and Chris Ingalls at 12:38. Felix Martineau pulled one back on the power play at 15:22. And then it all went wrong for Fife. Johnny McBean with his second at 26:22, assisted again by Kylie and Ben O'Connor. Jake Elmer at 31:06, assisted by Harms and O'Connor again, made it 4. Ryan Foss, with an honorary mention, assisted by Ben O'Connor at 34:01. Senior, if you've not seen the highlights in that one, have a watch back of it. Ben even cracked his stick off the goal. He was that pissed off with himself. So Foss made it 4-2. Zach Sekos scored 30-odd seconds later to restore that three-goal cushion. 34-34, assist by Harms and McDonald. Brett Gravel, 12 seconds later, assisted by McBean and Dow, 34-46. And then Sekos with his second on the power play at 37-46, assisted by Jake Elmer, and his first professional career point, Jarrett Fisk. Senior, see that second period? We were fucking all over them. They did not know what to do. But at the same time, Fife are terrible. They are terrible.
Said that there's guys that are wearing, and this is no Fife show, right? But there's guys wearing that Fife Flyers jersey that should never ever have been wearing the Fife Flyers jersey. No. I'm telling you now, they are not good enough to be playing for Fife Flyers. They're an embarrassment. And I said it about the big D boy, the boy that wanted to try and fight with Alberga. Wasn't much of a fight because obviously the boy can't fight. He dropped his gloves. What were you trying to prove? You're getting fucking humped at that point.
Yeah.
If you're going to fight him, then fight him. Then I throw your gloves down then. Grab him.
Take off.
Grab his jersey.
Listen,
I'll tell you, Mark Lefebvre has got this episode. He's got that episode going on loop in that dressing room, is he? Big Larzo, centre ice, big custard pie. Win the 4 games. We'll not win the 4 games. They're halfway there, Junior.
Yeah. Coach Coolen, in his post-game interview, did say that he is looking to make changes, bring people in and get rid of some people. But my question is, how many imports are they allowed to sign still? Like, how many players can they sign? But anyway, that's Fife's problem. A big win for us. Me personally, absolutely tremendous to see Johnny McBean 2+1. Johnny was outstanding. And you know what? His finishes, it was, you know, there was a shot, but then it was the little kind of, it was a save from Owen. We move, get it in the net. Great couple of finishes from him. And more so for his composure to take his time and finish it.
But many times have we said that if you put on with two imports, they'll create space for him, and the laddie knows how to finish.
Yeah,
it's like in football. Doesn't matter what age you are. If you're a striker, the goal doesn't move. That's the thing.
So, two weeks
running. Fucking 7-7. Who'd have thought that? Who'd have thought in two games we'd put 14 past Shane Owen?
Larzo, what does 7-7 make?
14.
14, like a James Phelan 14. There he is. Like a James Phelan 14.
But listen, there's been seasons gone past. We've now scored 14 in a season against Shane Owen. Never mind fucking 14 in two games.
I know.
Magnificent 7. Yeah, but you know, for me, what I've noticed now is, and we're a few games into the league season as well now, and I know this was Challenge Cup, but Big Benny's began to put points up.
Yep. Yes, he is that. Yeah. He is.
I think it was 0+3 or something And 0 plus 4 if you include their goal.
I don't even know what he was doing. It was like he went to pass it and thought, oh shit, I can't make that pass. Fanned on it. The guy just came in and lifted it and he was just like, fuck. But yeah, you know, we did say kind of Challenge Cup's gone. Seniors obviously got a bet on with the team that they have to win the next four games. But it does look like this. Fife Flyers are pretty much all but out. They were saying that they're all but out. 5 points through 9 games. Stars, 9 points through 10. So 2 points behind Glasgow with 2 games to play for the Stars. However, Glasgow have 4 games still to play. So effectively, Glasgow need to lose all of their games and we have to win all of our games to make it through. Belfast obviously qualified there with 12 points through 7 games. I can't believe we've only played 7 games. We've still got 5 to go in the Challenge Cup.
No. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
But yeah, so that is the Challenge Cup. As say, Stars need to win every game. I think the North Renfrewshire, Paisley, Pishy Wishy, Motherwell, Glasgow Clan need to...
The thing is,
lose everyone.
I think Clan and Belfast will end up, they'll hate to be playing Fife, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to pick their points up there.
No, absolutely. So, yeah. So, that is our 51 club-sponsored game reviews, which means it could be only time for one thing. Is the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, the good has to be an half 4-point weekend, does it? Even though it's league and Challenge Cup, it's 2 games, 2 points in each game. You win both of them, you get 4 points. So I think that has to be the good. Although there is honourable mentions to wee Sonche. That's good news that wee Sonche is back. He's now our wee rat instead of Glasgow's wee rat. And it'll be interesting to see when he makes his debut, if we can get the Philippe Sonche that came to us first and foremost. So, yeah. Also, we mentioned to the goalies, both goalies this week, Richard for his 41 save effort against Nottingham, but Big Cheesy for his first professional point. But, yeah, overall, the good is the 4-point weekend. I think the bad is... I'm going to say the bad is that call against Sheffield, because it's an absolute shocker with the high stick. That is just not good enough. And for them to then still say, after review, it's a good goal, it makes it even worse. If they've reviewed it and they say no goal, then you say, right, okay, they've made a mistake. But to come back and actually say that it's a good goal, nah, that's just bad officiating once again in the league. And then blind. And the ugly really has to be the Sheffield part again, but with the 3 quickfire goals. We keep doing it, and we're still doing it. We really need to be shutting teams down, either after we score or after they score. We need to shut them down. And I don't know if it's concentration or what, but I don't care if it's maybe worthwhile. If a team scores a goal against us, do what Mark done last night, just call a timeout, just to stop.
On Sunday. Sunday was a strange one that he called a timeout.
He was pissed.
It was good to see for once, but also just a bit strange that he was pissed.
But look what happened 21 seconds later. McBean scores. He gets they've got the message. But yeah, so the ugly is the continuation of I'll say the Dundee Stars, not just this season's Dundee Stars, but the Dundee Stars that we continually give goals away. So
yeah,
that's my good, my bad, my ugly.
Thank you. Well, just before we move on, your man of the match from Saturday. I think I know you're going to give it to him, but your man of the match?
Yeah, Richard Sabo.
Big Dick?
Richard Sabo. Yeah.
I'm actually going to go with Captain Fantastic. Dryden was standing on Saturday.
Yeah, I thought he was so, more—he was more like him usual, his usual self, shall we say?
Yeah,
yeah.
Brings on to our game previews. So the Liam Mean Tattoo sponsored game previews. We host the Chaventry Blaze on Saturday night in the league. Senior, first time seeing Coventry this year, home or away, but they've started off pretty well under Kevin Moore, from former Nottingham Panthers coach, when he took over from the French boy that left. Can't mind his name. Didn't know his name in the first place.
Paradis.
He was there. Yeah. That's it. He was there, Paradis. Then he was gone.
Jonathan Paradis, or Jonathan Paredes, whatever way you want to pronounce it.
But he was French.
The hub started well, eh?
Yeah, very well. Looking at some of their stats, the boy Luciani this year in the league, 12 points through six games. Yeah. Some start for the boy. And the guys at Regush and Gresak, or Grisok, they seem to be their two kind of other
Corey
point
Gresak
scorers.
Or something, is it? And the goalie seems to be playing well. Is it Matt Robson?
Matt Robson.
He seems to be playing very well.
Yeah, through six Elite League games, he has a save percentage of 92.5 and a goal against average of 2.50. So,
I think it's going to be a tight game. I really do. I'm looking forward to it. And same as what I said for the Nottingham game, we're at home and it's one of the games I expect to win.
Yeah.
There's maybe two teams in the league that I don't expect to beat at home. Sheffield's one of them, and probably Belfast, because they always seem to hit, they seem to hit our number, right? Mm-hmm. Any other team in the league, I fancy their chances at home.
Yeah. Score prediction then?
3-2 Stars overtime.
Oh, I've said 3-2 regulation.
Oh.
Then
there we go.
Sunday night, we are away to the Belfast Giants in the Challenge Cup. So this is part three of Senior's four-part bet with the club, with the team.
Custard Pie Challenge.
Right, the part three, the Custard Pie Challenge. So, Giants, so looking at their Challenge Cup points, first of all, the man that seems to love putting points up against us, Jordan, is it Jordan? Is that his first name? Kawaguchi?
Jordan Kawaguchi.
Yeah, it is Jordan. Yeah. Kawaguchi, 13 points in seven Challenge Cup games. But looking at their league form recently, it seems to be our old friend Elijah Barriga leading the way with Scott Conway of, I think it's 9 points in seven games, I think it was.
I think JJ started scoring at the weekend as well. I think he actually scored three.
Yeah.
So they're beginning to start stringing. They had a couple of bad results, and then I think they've went and started picking up again. I think it was Company the bet at the weekend. Was it Company?
Yes.
So it's going to be tough. Again, I think Mark will split the goalies again. I think Richard will get the league game against Coventry. And I think Jarrett will get the cup game in Belfast. I think it's the right way to do it. But it's going to be tough. I think Belfast will beat.
Okay.
You know, so,
score.
Yeah. Oh, let's think. Let's think. 5-1 Giants.
So I've went 6-2 Giants. I think we'll score two.
I think they'll be just too strong overall. Yeah. And I think we will hopefully leave everything out there against Coventry the night before to get 2 points in the league.
Yeah.
That's why it's exactly the same position as last weekend.
Yeah.
Where you want, if you're going to take the 2 points, take them in the league game.
Yeah.
And then take what we can in the cup. Yeah.
So. Definitely. Does bring us on to our Slimming World with Stella, sponsored on this day. And I did get shouted at for Stella last week, and I knew I would.
We expected that.
Yeah. And when I came off the show, I did know that it was Lockie. Fucking St. Mary's. I don't know where I got St. Mary's for. But anyway. So I'm all of a Stella sponsored on this day. 29th of October. Only one thing happened on the 29th of October, Senior. And it was just one game where it was an away league loss to our unwashed friends from Fife. 3-2. Our goal scorers, Brett Switzer. And
good player.
Baby Betty, calm down again, please. Matt
calm
White.
Down. Not so good.
And that's literally all that happened on this day, on the 29th of October.
Oh, well.
Yeah, one thing. No signings, no leavers, no other games, no exciting news. that was it. So that was on this day. Good. Senior, a wee bit of a longer episode this week. Always is when we get a couple of guests on. But absolutely loved having Senior and Junior Pluzy on.
Senior and Junior on.
Senior and Junior and Senior and Junior. Absolutely. Thank you so much to them both for coming on again. And a big thank you to them for continuing to sponsor part of the show. We're hopefully going to get somebody on next week for Senior versus the Fans. Abdi seems to be running scared, especially Connor Kerr.
Bottle merchants. A lot of them. Yeah. Bottle merchants, yeah. Junior.
Absolutely is. But again, massive shout out and thank you to our title sponsor of Don Michele. Get yourselves down there. It's a new and improved menu. It's just started at the weekend. And again, as we said at the top of the show, they now deliver. They don't do liver, they deliver.
Oh,
they don't want anybody thinking they do liver on pizza. No, right. They didn't do liver on pizza. They deliver pizza.
They deliver.
Right, got you. Yeah. But again, thanks for joining in, folks. Thanks for watching on YouTube, listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Home game Saturday against the Blaze. Let's be loud and proud, and we'll see you then. Don't you know, pump it up. You got to pump it up.